Behind Big Brother podcast.
Hey guys, it's day 14 in the Big Brother house, and this is the BehindBigBrother.com podcast. I am Vid.
And I'm Vibes.
And we've got a lot to talk about today since it's been almost a week since our last podcast, so we're canning the news segment for today.
Monday we had our first set of nominations, and no surprises there. We haven't seen much of Elise, so of course she was going to be nominated.
Michael's going to be nominated anyway because he's the insider and he failed. Dino and Claire, I'm not quite sure why they were nominated.
Well, they only became nominated because of the 3-point twist. The one thing I was interested about nominations was the fact that it's now live.
The live section is really good because we get to actually see them squirm, because with the two minute thing now, which is also a new thing, they've got 2 minutes to nominate. You get to really see their brains ticking over, and when it's live, nothing's edited out, and you just see them, like, raw in the flesh.
One criticism of the two-minute lock that I've heard is when you're put under the pressure of 2 minutes, you scramble for an excuse.
Yeah.
And it's not really true to the housemates. But then again, I think it's still great television.
It was good. One thing I didn't like was Big Brother telling him to hurry up, because he wasted a lot of their time. He's probably doing that on purpose, but they were trying to get things out, and he was saying, you've only got 30 seconds left. So if you just let them go, it would have been much better from my point of view.
I have to disagree with you. I thought Big Brother cutting in was quite good because he said for the last few years that he will be evil. And finally, this is the most evil that he's been. The lights and dramatic effects used in the diary room were quite, I thought, pretty funny, actually.
I'm not sure if I like it or not. I'm not sure if I think it's too cheesy or I think it puts a good effect on it. The music, I think, is a bit much. The lights, maybe.
I did like the camera angles, though. We're finally seeing the housemates from different camera angles in.
And they zoom in on them a lot more. They don't show the whole shot anymore. They actually zoom in just on their face. Another good point was Gretel was almost funny for most of the nomination show, but I think she's got the same writer again this year because her jokes are exactly the same. Who's going to take the nomination plunge? So, well done, Gretel.
And the nomination virus as...
Yeah, nomination virus.
That it was also mentioned on the Big Brother Uncouth podcast, and I have to agree with them. Gretel looked really tired.
She did. She looked like she was about to pass out, like Mark Goldman usually does. What was she wearing? I know this is the first time I've ever mentioned it about what Gretel was wearing, but whoever chose that outfit needs to be fired immediately.
I liked it a little that Gretel was a little tired and under the weather because she was a little more down to earth. She still had the really bad puns and the really bad wordplay, mm-hmm. but I don't know, she seemed a little more sincere. Back to the nominations, there was a few blunders, which can only
there
be...
There was a few blunders, but they were good blunders, I think.
And it can only be expected from live show. I mean, they haven't done nominations live properly for a good few years now, except if a housemate goes to the toilet, you have to cut their mic.
Yes, definitely turn off Michael's microphone when he's urinating. Just the last thing on nominations, I have to admit that I'm a douchebag, because last podcast, Tim asked me... who I thought was going to get nominated, and I said Karen and Crystal. They couldn't be nominated because they kept their mother and daughter secret thing, so yeah, I'm a douche.
We forgive you, Vid. So Camilla and Anna returned to the house earlier this week, and it caused quite a lot of drama. Personally, I have to say, Camilla, you are one of the fakest people I've seen in the house.
With the worst skin.
Yes. When Camilla was in the revenge room, all she would talk about is, they're going to rule the day that they ever double-crossed us. We're going to get back at them so bad, it's going to be revenge is fully on.
Yeah.
Anna was the quiet one. And as soon as they go back into the house, Camilla's apologizing. It was live on TV as well. Camilla saying to Tilly, oh, I can give you a dress back.
Yeah, and I thought she was going to say... Listen, bitch.
Yeah, and suddenly she's really good friends with them, and Camilla's starting to join the anti-Anna bandwagon. What's up with that?
She was guaranteed at least 2 weeks, so it sounded like she wanted to stir some shit, but she didn't at all. She's trying to fit back into the group and get to know them and everything like that, when I thought she didn't like them all because they nominated her.
Anna, who is the only one who's actually stood up, she's the only one who's kept her principles in the house ever since being evicted and coming back into the house, and she clearly explained this over the family dinner, where her position is in relation to the other housemates, whereas Camilla's just bending in the wind.
I'm really beginning to like Anna, actually. I think it's really commendable what she did about going and talking to Karen and Crystal. Even though she knew they were pissed off with them, she took the effort out to go and talk to them, and she didn't get teary upset. They wouldn't have wanted to talk to her if she was like that, but she really stood up for herself and talked to them and tried to make things better, whereas Camilla just is sort of fitting, trying to find her place back in, whereas Anna is really, really trying hard to do it. She doesn't want to be the one that everyone hates. Anna's really, really trying to fit back in and
you think
be
so,
liked.
Though? If Anna really wanted to try and fit back in, she would, I'd say she'd be apologizing to Karen and Crystal.
No, but that's good. She's standing her ground. She didn't do anything that wrong. And she's just trying to get them to understand her point of view, which there, we'll mention it in a minute. Karen and Crystal are stubborn as.
It must have been really tough for her because Karen and Crystal basically ganged up on her and they keep rallying support. I remember that clip of Crystal in the gym with Tilly saying, oh, we've got to get people, specifically Michael, on our side against Anna. Crystal is really manipulative.
She's a whore.
That was pretty harsh.
No, she is. I'm really agitated now. You've got me agitated. She tries to act all innocent and that around all the guy housemates, and then when she gets with the girls, minus Anna, bitch, 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 come to my side, bitch, bitch, bitch.
The biggest problem I had with Crystal's bitching was the fact that she'd go on and on and on about how Anna is so immature. She's such a bitch. She's never going to get anywhere in life because of her negative attitude because she's a bitch.
I mean, she doesn't have a negative attitude
Crystal,
at all.
Crystal, you're a hypocrite, a bloody hypocrite. And one thing I also noticed too, Karen has this, even when she's talking to a housemate she likes, she has this habit of glaring at them. I have plenty of caps from the feeds. I'm going to make this fantastic desktop montage wallpaper of Karen glaring. Karen, it's going to be great. Where is Elise and David?
They disappeared.
I think the hologram rumor is going to return from season 3. Perhaps Elise is a hologram, and that's why we barely see her.
Maybe. We see more of David than we do of Elise, though.
Elise. There was an episode this week, because I usually recap the episodes for the website. Elise didn't say anything. There was no dialogue from Elise whatsoever.
Wouldn't they usually focus on, I know in the previous years, they've always focused on the evictees and their week. Oh, not the evictees, sorry, the nominated housemates. They haven't done that at all.
It's like the producers have just given up on Elise for now, suspected, oh, Elise is just going to be evicted, there's no helping it, let's just focus our attention on seemingly more entertaining housemates, when we really haven't got to know Elise at all.
I think it'd be worth getting to know her, though. Sometimes on the streams, they do focus on her quite a bit, but I reckon she'd be really valuable to get to know.
She seems really upset that the real her hasn't come out and that she's really quiet in front of the other housemates. Elise, that's not being quiet, that's being normal.
Yeah.
The other housemates are psychos.
And they're big personalities, and fair enough, she's not trying to fit in. Let's move on to this clown task that the housemates have been given.
You know, I cursed the day that Big Brother introduced the music dancing task, where housemates had to go and dance if their music was played. Because since then, I think it might have been season 1 or 2.
It was 2 because Nathan was in it when they had to dance, I think.
Since then, every single task has been the housemates waiting around for a sound to play.
Well, one of the reasons I would do it before up late with Mikey.
Obviously, yeah.
Because he's always going, come on, they're going to do it soon, they're going to do it soon. And it's sort of something he looks forward to if there's no other great conversation going on in the house. One of those tasks that's only interesting to the housemates for a day or two. Then they get over it.
It doesn't matter if they're dressing up as clowns or tango dancers or firemen. It's still the same task and it's still boring. So how about this Jamie and Katie thing?
Ooh, lover, lover, lover.
Well, I'm not so sure because they seem to be this year's Christy and Greg. Because Katie is all for moving forward in a relationship and she wants to be with Jamie, but Jamie's very unsure.
Yeah, I think he's a bit paranoid about the cameras as well.
I think he's just doing it to fill time in the house.
He wants a route. I'm a bit scared for poor Katie though, because the adults only photos of Jamie. I don't think
we were just looking at them and he's quite well endowed.
Yeah, so, and Katie's quite a small, petite.
And she has certain metal objects
around that area
that could pose a problem.
So, hopefully they play nice.
I think, too, that Jamie's a little concerned because Katie is sort of a happy-go-lucky girl, not really smart. And from what I've heard of Jamie, he thinks of himself as a fair bit more intelligent than the rest of the housemates. Apparently, and I say apparently because this is what he told Katie as I was watching the feeds, he has 2 university degrees, one in human movement and one in something along the lines of nutrition. And he was getting very upset because Ashley had a very negative stance towards steroids. And Jamie went to the point as almost defending the use of steroids, which I thought was a bit odd. But moving back to the topic, he knows that he might be quite a lot smarter than Katie. And he's wondering, scratch that, he's not wondering, he knows the relationship probably won't go anywhere. As most Big Brother relationships go.
Yeah, but like you said, it's probably very boring in the house without someone to nurture and love.
Yeah, he's doing it to fill time. In around 2 weeks' time, Big Brother UK will be starting across the pond, and both David and I are quite excited.
I got addicted to it last year and refused to watch Big Brother Australia. So hopefully that won't happen again because we sort of have to make a podcast about it. They have a really big twist coming.
And it is actually a world first.
What a shock.
And it's not a world first where they say it's going to be one and it turns out to be total bull. It is a world first, but it's a bit cheesy and I don't know if it's the greatest twist, but as reported on our website this weekend, they're sending out 100 gold tickets to the general public in the UK. And if you come across a golden ticket in a chocolate bar, you have a chance of becoming a housemate, regardless of whether you auditioned or whatnot. We get a lot of emails into the website, so we're going to read out a couple that were addressed directly towards the podcast. The first one's from Brian. He writes, Camilla, don't you think she looks like Princess Fiona from the Shrek movies when she becomes an ogre? She just has that repulsive face thing happening.
One of our forum users, I think it was Dante, actually made a picture of Princess Fiona with Camilla's head on it and actually did look quite similar.
Camilla has mentioned that she breaks out in pimples and spots when she's under stress. She admitted that it came out in high school and it was quite a big problem and that it still happened.
The lights in the Big Brother house couldn't be helping either.
Peter writes, and this is quite an important email that we should address.
Very important email, this one.
Peter writes, leave poor David alone. There's no doubt that you guys are living in a city somewhere, which is true, with no idea of what it's like for gay people in the country. I think they covered it well on the show, and it was nowhere near the whole 30 minutes of the show as reported by you lads. It should have been dragged out for even longer, I say. If it helps just one guy or girl from slashing their wrists, shooting, or even hanging themselves, that's one person a parent doesn't have to bury. And I know people who have done this because they were gay. If people are offended by it, they can switch channels just like on Uncut. And if the boy wants to sleep in, let him do so. No one complains about you guys when your podcast isn't out on time. I'm not sure what he means by that because our podcast is just random. He was up at 5:30 a.m. on the first few shows, and being a farmer, he would be up at that time every morning. It's not a tough life for a gay boy. It's a tough life being a farmer.
Very patriotic there.
My response to that is, I don't have a problem with David coming out on the show. What
Neither do I
do have a problem with is it being stretched out and turned into a novelty and almost trivialized to the point where it circles around on itself and becomes discrimination again.
Got nothing against him coming out. Good on him. But just the way that the producers put the show is what we were talking about, Peter. Not about him coming out.
As for David getting up in the morning, okay, fair enough that it's tough life being a farmer, but I don't exactly see him farming anything in that house.
No, there's not much to farm in the AstroTurf, actually. I don't think you'd get much out of that.
No, I don't think that anything grows in AstroTurf, but that's just me. Our next email comes from a user named David, and I think he was under the impression that we are the official Big Brother website, because it's worded as such. He writes, Dear Big Brother, I am a 65-year-old grandfather who enjoys your show, but I don't agree one bit with keeping those girls in the revenge room or the way Michael has been singled out. What chance has the young guy got when Channel 10 has made him a target from day one as the insider? I believe all contestants must be given equal opportunity to win your contest. Michael certainly hasn't. Come on, Big Brother, Aussies for a fair go. I don't know Michael or any of the other players.
The public chose Michael to be singled out. They knew he was going to be put as an insider, and although Gretel didn't explain it that much, insider usually means, you know, doing something for Big Brother that he might not want to do. So that was the public choice.
All good in theory, saying that all the housemates need an equal go, but in the real world, that's very boring television.
15 housemates each day for 22 minutes. You can't do that. You can't put that in. You can't get to know that many housemates just yet. If you have any comments like this, you can either ring in podcast voicemail lines, which are on the website, or you can email podcast@behindbigbrother.com. It was very sad this week. We didn't get that many emails or voicemail messages at all. We really look forward to them.
And we have dipped a little on the iTunes podcast charts.
No!
It can only be expected. I was expecting it. Everything usually dips in week three. So get on iTunes, get your friends on iTunes, write us some good reviews, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe.
Yeah, we only have one review at the moment. The more reviews, the better.
Currently, we're ranked number 24 out of all the podcasts in Australia, which is still pretty good, but definitely, it could be better.
It could be better. I want to see us up above 10 at some stage during
the year. And I want to beat the damn Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire
podcast.
What is
with that?
I don't know how they beat us.
We actually have news. We'll catch you next time we do our podcast. Until then, we'll leave you with some voicemails. See ya.
Hey guys, it's Jason from the forums. I just dropped past to say you're doing a good job and I'm really enjoying the forums and shit. You keep going.
Hi guys. I must say I like the podcast. I hope more members phone in. Or send a message to podcast@behindbigbrother.com. timebigbrother.com. Anyway, I have to say Big Brother editing is going to plan, in my opinion. Looks like Karen may get the goal in this coming eviction. I wish Michael would get the boot. He is such a camera tart. Great work, guys. See you later. It's Derbsy speaking. Bye.